Nancy signaled to the camera to cut at the end of the scene. It was a hot day, and the commissary trucks were pouring gallons of water and handing out cold sodas and iced tea and lemonade. Nancy seemed pleased when they stopped for lunch. They had gotten two scenes in the can that morning, once Dan finally got his lines right. Kate went to visit Maeve in her trailer and told her what a great job she'd done. Agnes was in her own trailer, watching daytime soaps and waiting to go on that afternoon. Kate dropped by to see her, too, and Agnes was happy in a satin dressing gown with a wig on. She looked every inch a star, and there was no question that Maeve and Agnes raised the caliber of the show to another level. Kate was grateful they were in it, and so were they. And there was a strong bond between them, the director, and Kate. They understood the material in their gut as well as their lines. The characters were part of them by now, after weeks of rehearsing and months of reading the scripts. The shooting went without a hitch for 3 days, and then came to a grinding halt when Charlotte had a raging fit because she didn't like her wig, threw it to the ground, and refused to do the next scene until it was changed. Nancy Haskell handled it with the utmost calm and switched the call sheet to a scene between Maeve and Agnes, and both were willing. They got it with 2 takes, and after that, Nancy went to see Charlotte in her trailer. The young actress was still pouting over the wig, while 2 of the hairdressers worked frantically, and one of them was in tears after Charlotte had thrown a Coke can at her. The hairdresser had a bruise on her arm and was threatening to quit. It was classic Charlotte, and why she was always hated on set. The director walked in and quietly closed the door. Charlotte looked up in surprise as Nancy stood in front of her, a daunting figure with a frighteningly soft voice. "You're in the next scene, and, frankly, I don't care if you go on bald, but you'd better get your butt out there. And if you throw anything at anyone on this set again, I'm calling legal. It's not too late to write you out of the show. Is that clear?" Charlotte nodded, speechless. No one had ever spoken to her that way before, and everyone was amazed to see her come out of her trailer 10 minutes later, wearing the wig and meek as a lamb. She did the scene without missing a line. Nancy winked at Kate as they moved on to the next scene with Agnes and Maeve, which was a pleasure to behold. And that night they watched what they had shot that day, and everyone was pleased. Zack was in L.A., closing another deal, and Kate reported to him that everything was going well in New York. Maeve's husband seemed to be back on even keel again and out of imminent danger for now. It was the best they could hope for with him and for Maeve. Abea was even better than they had believed she would be as Maggie. And she worked brilliantly with Maeve, who taught her some tricks. She was flawlessly professional, a very good actress, although she was new in the business, and she was proving that taking a chance on her had been the right call. The only one trying to distract her was Dan Delaney, who kept asking her out. He showed up in her trailer without knocking while she was getting out of the shower, and she covered herself with a towel as she told him to leave. "That would be hard," he said evilly. "If you get my drift," he continued, pointing to his crotch. "What are you, in high school? Whoever told you lines like that were cute?" Abea found him insulting and rude, and turned down every invitation to go out with him. He just moved on to the next one, and was soon after one of the hairdressers and an extra who thought he was hot. The extra had sex with him in his trailer one day during lunch, and he told everyone on the set about it. "He's either a sex addict, or he has no dick and he's trying to prove something," Abea said to Maeve in disgust. She was dreading her upcoming scenes with him, but since they were supposed to be brother and sister, he had no opportunity to get his hands on her, much to her relief. He was actually a decent actor, though not as talented as she was. He was just a sleazy guy in real life, and she couldn't stand him. Conflicts like that were standard on any set, Maeve explained to Kate. Someone always hated someone, and half the cast were having sex. The big excitement for all of them was when they finished the Long Island scenes for the opening show. It was turning out exactly as Kate had hoped it would. Maeve was fabulous. Agnes was brilliant as the grandmother. Philip Green was perfect in the role of Locke. Dan Delaney actually pulled it together and kept his pants up long enough to give believable performances, and in the final scene, flying with her father, Abea stole the show. Everyone applauded with the last shot, and Kate almost cried, she was so happy. Charlotte and Brad, as the bad younger children, made only brief appearances in the first episode, so they didn't have a chance to screw anything up. And Brad had been no problem so far. From what Kate could see, it was going to be an absolutely perfect first night for the show, especially once they added the scenes in upstate New York. Kate was on a high when she got home that night, and smiled to herself every time she thought about it. But her elation ended quickly when Candace called her from London to say she was flying out that night on another dangerous assignment. It was the first Kate had heard of it, and her heart sank. "How many times are you going to do this? You're tempting fate. Wasn't last time enough? I won't do it forever, Mom. I promise. I have to get it out of my system. And these documentaries open people's eyes to what's going on in the world." "That's great," Kate said angrily. "Let someone else do them. I don't want to lose you. Don't you understand that?" "Yes, I do. But I'm 29 years old. I have to live my life in a meaningful way for me. I can't just take some job that bores me to death because you want me to be safe. Nothing's going to happen to me." She was as adamant as her mother, who had tears running down her cheeks. "You don't know that. There are no guarantees in life. You put yourself at risk on every one of these assignments. Stop worrying about me so much. It puts too much pressure on me. Just let me do my job." Kate didn't know what else to say to convince her, and knew she couldn't anyway. It was a battle she would never win with Candace. "Just take care of yourself," Kate said unhappily, "and call me when you can. I love you. That's all I have to say." "I love you too, Mom. Take care of yourself, too." They both hung up frustrated and unhappy. Kate sat crying for a minute and then called Maeve. "She's leaving again, to some shithole where someone can try to kill her. She's an accident waiting to happen, and she doesn't know it. Sometimes I hate my children because I love them so much." Maeve understood what she was saying and felt sorry for Kate. "I'm sure she'll be all right. I think there's a special guardian angel for stupid kids," she said warmly. "Not always," Kate said, with despair in her voice. "She just doesn't listen. She's so busy trying to save the world." "She'll get tired of it eventually," Maeve encouraged her, and could only imagine how hard it was to accept, after Candace had been injured so recently and could easily have been killed. "I hope you're right, and she lives that long." "She will," Maeve said firmly, and then they talked about how great the scenes had been that day, and how terrific the first episode was going to be once it was complete. They had sent it to Zack digitally, and he called her late that night and raved. She was thinking about Candace when she answered his call. "What are you sounding so down at the mouth about? The first episode is great." "Sorry, nothing. Family stuff. Sometimes my kids drive me insane." "Something serious?" He worried about her, which touched her. "Not yet. And never, I hope. Not to change the subject. But what did you do to Nick Brooke, by the way? He called me today and couldn't stop talking about you and how fabulous you are. I think you've cast a spell on him." "Not likely. He can have anyone he wants," she said, flattered, but she didn't take it seriously. "We had a nice evening at his house. He's a really great guy." "Well, he thinks the same of you. He said he was going to come early and watch the shooting, to see how the dynamics are. But frankly, I think he's coming to see you." "Don't be silly," she said blithely. "I think I'm jealous." But she didn't believe that either. She had heard rumors recently that Zack was quietly dating a major actress, and she was happy for him. They talked about the first episode again, and he congratulated her on having the makings of a fantastic opening show. He told her the network would go nuts when they saw it. but it was hard to go wrong with two major actresses like Agnes and Maeve. The others were the icing on the cake, and Nancy knew just how to weave their performances together and create magic. Kate tried to keep her mind on their first episode when she went to bed that night, but all she could think of was Candace, winging her way toward danger again. The thought of it was unbearable, and yet there was nothing she could do to stop it. It was at times like that, feeling totally powerless to turn the tides, that she realized again how hard it was being a mother, especially of adults. But at the same time, it was also what she loved most. Chapter 12. The scenes they shot at their airstrip on Long Island went remarkably well, and the atmosphere on the set was positive, enthusiastic, and productive. And in the third week of shooting, they moved to upstate New York to shoot scenes in the house, and were hit by a terrible heat wave that made everyone uncomfortable, crabby and short-tempered, even Maeve, who was the consummate professional, and Abaya, who was usually an angel. Everyone was hot and miserable, and Charlotte started throwing up as soon as they got there. She kept blaming it on the food trucks and poor refrigeration in the trailer that had been set up as a commissary. She called her agent to complain and insist they call a doctor. She said she had salmonella. "What's her problem now?" Zack asked when he called Kate. "She thinks we're poisoning her," Kate said, sounding tired. The heat was getting to her, too. "It must be 110 degrees up here, and the house isn't air-conditioned." Everyone was sitting in their air-conditioned trailers until they were called to the set. "I'd like to poison her," Zack said, exasperated. "Is anyone else getting sick?" "Not a soul," Kate confirmed. She was letting the production assistants deal with Charlotte as much as possible, but occasionally she felt she should step in. "So what do you think this is about?" Zack asked her. He had come to respect Kate's judgment more and more. She had great instincts about people. "I have no idea. More money, time off, a better trailer, top billing. Who knows with her?" Kate was rapidly becoming experienced with the antics that went on while filming a show. "Do you think she's really sick?" He was worried. She was in a lot of scenes and could really slow them down. Kate thought about it for a minute. "I'm not sure. She looks okay, but she could have some kind of stomach bug or bacteria she picked up. I don't think it's food poisoning, or we'd all have it. It could be the heat. We called a doctor for her. I think he's coming later. She's not running a fever, I checked." He laughed when she said it. "You sound like you're running a camp for wayward girls." "I feel like it, except she's the only bad girl on the set. It's a good thing you have kids. Call me after she sees the doctor. I just hope he doesn't tell her to take 2 weeks off. We've been right on schedule so far. I'd hate to see her screw that up." "So would I," Kate said seriously. She went back to see Charlotte then. She was lying in her trailer with a damp cloth on her head and said she had thrown up again. "What do you think it is?" Kate asked her, sitting next to her and stroking her hand gently, as Charlotte suddenly looked up at her with enormous eyes and dissolved in tears. She was obviously frightened, and Kate felt sorry for her, despite what a pest she was at times. "Maybe it's just the heat." Charlotte shook her head and went to throw up again. Things were not looking good. She was still crying when she came back 5 minutes later and sat down facing Kate. "I don't know how it happened," she said miserably. "I think I'm pregnant," she whispered. She started sobbing and dissolved in Kate's arms as Kate stared straight ahead of her, not wanting to believe what she had heard, but it sounded all too true. "Are you sure?" she asked her, trying to get her to calm down. Charlotte nodded and blew her nose on the tissue Kate handed her. "I'm positive." "The father?" Kate asked in a choked voice, and the beautiful starlet looked at her. "The drummer in a band I hang out with sometimes." "Are you sure?" "Almost. I think he's the only one I've slept with in the last 3 months, but I can't remember. I fool around a lot, but I only go all the way with a few guys I know, and two of them have been working in L.A. recently." Kate hardly found that reassuring, but at least Charlotte thought she knew who the father was. Almost. Do you know what you'd want to do about it?
I don't know.
I think I'd have it. It wouldn't be right to get rid of it, would it? Kate almost groaned. And what about her part on the show? It was the least of Charlotte's problems, but foremost on Kate's mind, and Zack would have a fit. You have to make that decision yourself, Kate said quietly. The doctor arrived then, and Kate left them alone. She went back to the trailer she was using as an office and put her head in her hands on her desk. She didn't hear Agnes walk in behind her.
That doesn't look good,
Agnes said in a strong voice. Kate jumped and grinned at her.
It's not. Anything I can help with?
No, but thank you. I'll work it out. Charlotte's assistant came to get Kate then, and she left Agnes in a hurry. The doctor had come and gone by then. He'd confirmed Charlotte's own diagnosis since she had taken a pregnancy test that morning, after she'd sent an assistant to a nearby drugstore to get it. And she looked at Kate with big, innocent eyes.
I'm going to have it, Kate. I don't want another abortion.
What do you want to do about the show? The rest was Charlotte's problem to work out. Kate only had to deal with the show.
I want to stay on. Can I?
Her eyes filled with tears as she asked.
It's such a great part for me.
Kate nodded and knew it was true. But what would they do with Crystal in the story?
How pregnant are you?
About 3 months, I think. It won't show for a while. I didn't show last time till I was 5 months pregnant.
You have kids?
Kate looked shocked. I got pregnant in high school when I was 15 and gave it up for adoption. I've had 2 abortions since, and I don't think I should do that again. I'm 23 now. That's old enough to have a baby, don't you think?
That depends on if you're prepared to take on the responsibility,
Kate said seriously.
I think my mom would help me.
It all sounded like a mess to Kate, with a possible drummer father who wasn't even her full-time boyfriend, but just a guy she hung out with, and not even the father with any certainty. She was almost sure, but not totally.
I have to talk to Zack, Kate said, looking stressed. She left the trailer a minute later, headed straight for her office, and called him.
She got him at his office, about to leave for lunch.
We have a problem, she said bluntly.
She's really been poisoned?
She's pregnant. 3 months. She wants to keep it and stay on the show.
She did a rapid calculation. That means she'll have it in January. We're on hiatus then, so she could come back to work after the baby if she's willing. Or we could even film her having the baby. She says you won't be able to see it for another 2 months, which gets us till the end of September. We'll be finished shooting by then. We could move all her scenes up front and shoot them now. So by the time she looks pregnant, we won't need her, and we can bring her back right afterward, if you still want her. Or we fire her now and replace her. She was thinking on her feet, trying to save the show.
Oh, for Christ's sake, are you shitting me?
Who's the father? Does she know?
I don't know. Maybe some guy she sleeps with, among others. She's not sure.
We could write the baby into the script if you want to keep her. Since she's the bad girl in it, it could work. We're talking about 1940 here. She could decide to keep it, which would be very brave for those days, but kind of works with the theme of the show. We'd have to hire a guy for her, Kate said, her mind racing.
No, we don't. She doesn't know who the father is, but keeps it anyway. That would be brave.
And they might love a baby and an unwed mother on the show. If we're stuck with it, we can make it work. I'd rather do that than fire her. She's a big name, even if she drives us nuts. And for God's sake, get Becca on it right away. Let's shoot all her scenes from before the pregnancy in the next month, and then we can shoot her again when she starts the show.
They were thinking in sync about it, and Kate agreed with him.
I just want to warn you. I may kill her the next time I see her. And I have to tell the insurers that we have a pregnant woman on the set now.
What do I tell Charlotte?
That she is the luckiest woman on TV, and we'll keep her on. It actually might work in our favor.
though I sure as hell wouldn't have hired her if I knew she was pregnant. It's kind of a fitting plot twist for a promiscuous bad girl. And she can have some kind of bad boyfriend who runs away and we never have to see him, if that works better for you and Becca. We'll figure it out. Good. I'm late for lunch at the network. I'll call you later. And she has to do her job. She can't lie around whining over this. She's young and healthy. Tell her to get back to work. Terrific. I'll let her know. Kate went back to Charlotte's trailer then. She was looking better and had color back in her face. What did he say? Charlotte asked, terrified. She was sure they were going to fire her. We're going to write it into the show, if you want to stay. I really do, and I promise I won't be a problem. I wasn't sick last time. It must be the heat. I just called my agent and told him. We'll make it work, Kate reassured her. We're going to shoot all your non-pregnant scenes up front as soon as we can. And once you start the show, we'll write it into the scripts. Becca and I can work on that. How do you feel now? Are you ready to go back on set? Charlotte nodded meekly and was grateful to her and Zack. Thank you for not firing me, she said, as docile as a lamb. No more tantrums today, okay? I promise. I'll do whatever you tell me. Go see them in hair and makeup and be ready to roll in half an hour. They'd have to adjust wardrobe for her eventually, too. Kate felt as though her mind was exploding as she went to find Becca and warn her of what was coming. They were going to be spending some long, hot nights together adjusting the script and adding Crystal's illegitimate baby to the story. She ran into Maeve along the way. "How's the princess?" she asked with a disgusted look in the direction of Charlotte's trailer. She was more trouble than she was worth in Maeve's opinion. "I have bad news for you," Kate said, straight-faced. "Shit. Now what? She wants a pedicure before she goes back on set?" "Mrs. Wilder, I regret to inform you that your 14-year-old daughter Crystal is pregnant. She's going to give birth at the beginning of season 2. She's keeping it, and she may not be sure who the father is." It took a minute for it to register, but suddenly Maeve got it and stared at her. "Are you kidding? She's knocked up? Holy shit! What did Zack say?" "He agreed to keep her and write it into the show. We can have her give birth on set, or at least do a whole delivery scene with you and Agnes delivering the baby." Maeve burst out laughing at the thought of it. "Well, that should be interesting. I can't wait till you tell Agnes. I don't think she pictures herself as a midwife. We have to move up some of her early scenes while she's not showing, so the schedule is going to get a little scrambled, but I think we can pull it off without running late." "Becca and I have work to do," Kate said as she saw Becca in the distance and waved to her. "Sorry about the bad news about your slut of a daughter, Mrs. Wilder." Maeve laughed again then, and went to find Agnes to let her know about Charlotte. The news was all over the set by the next day. Charlotte looked faintly embarrassed, and a few people congratulated her, and the costume designer told her that her own baby was due in September. They got back to work in earnest shortly after Charlotte had told Kate the news. They were resilient, and Becca was already working on the adjustments to the scripts in the scenes that involved Charlotte, and writing a new script for the episode where she would tell her mother she was pregnant. Kate was just grateful she'd never had to face that problem, and even more so that Charlotte was not her daughter. Neither of Kate's daughters had ever gotten pregnant, whereas this was the fourth pregnancy for Charlotte at 23, with a guy she wasn't even sure was the father. But all Kate had to worry about now were the scripts they were changing. As she explained, it actually provided a new wrinkle to the story, and Crystal Wilder deciding to keep the baby, and her mother letting her, made her a brave woman in 1940. Having the baby and fessing up to it was a bold move in those days, and almost unheard of, and Hannibal would have plenty to say about it. Agnes could hardly wait, and had some ideas of her own on the subject. Anne and her mother would have a couple of major arguments over it. Locke didn't need to know until he came home from England, and he'd be shocked by his wife's decision to let their daughter keep the baby. No decent man would ever want to marry her in the circumstances back then. Kate had already figured out that they'd need a baby on the show in season 2, But that was easy enough to cast. Kate had thought of everything. Charlotte's behavior was exemplary on the set from then on. There was no more complaining about her wig, her dress, or her makeup. She didn't say a word. She threw up only once, and came right back to the set after she did. "This could be the best thing that ever happened to us working with her, if it calms her down," Maeve whispered to Kate. Charlotte was so grateful she was still on the show that she didn't cause any problems for at least a week, which was better than she had been so far. And the scripts Becca came up with, incorporating the pregnancy, were among the best Kate had read. It was beginning to seem like a blessing in disguise for all of them, and hopefully for Charlotte most of all. The news of Charlotte's pregnancy was instantly eclipsed by a call from Zack with major news. He had met with the head of the network, and based on the dailies they were watching carefully, and the powerful cast they had on board, they had agreed to greenlight them for the additional 9 episodes. They would have to work harder and faster and come up with 9 more scripts, but it was fantastic news. The entire cast cheered when they were told. Kate was so busy dealing with Charlotte and the script changes to accommodate her pregnancy and the additional 9 scripts she and Becca were working on that she was the last one to notice Dan going in and out of Abaya's trailer every day. Agnes pointed it out to her with a look of amusement. Kate was worried as soon as she heard about it, and went to visit Abaya during a break the next day. She knew how much Abaya had disliked him until then, and how he had harassed her, pressing her to go out with him. "Is something going on with you two? Is he bothering you?" she asked, trying to sound casual about it. "Not really," Abaya said at first. "Well, maybe something's going on," she blushed. "Actually, sort of. We had dinner a couple of times this week." "What happened to your thinking he was a sex addict and a pervert? How did that change so quickly?" Kate was worried. "He says he never met anyone like me. And he's crazy about me, Kate. He keeps bringing me flowers, and he had a really difficult childhood." Abaya's beautiful face was full of trust and innocence, and Kate's heart sank as she listened to her. "Dan is a pretty busy guy," she said, referring to the half-dozen women he had already slept with on the set. Kate didn't want her to be next and get hurt. She tried to say that as gently as she could. "This is different, I can tell. He respects me." Kate almost groaned out loud and wanted to shake her, but she had no right to interfere. She warned her again to be careful, and crossed paths with him on the way to Abaya's trailer after she left. She looked at Dan fiercely. "If you screw her over, I will personally kill you," she said in a low voice, so only he could hear her. "She's a lovely girl, and a decent human being, if that means anything to you." "I'm falling in love with her," he said, looking righteous. Kate didn't believe a word of it. Working on the show was an education for her, too. "I mean it, Dan. Don't play with her. You can have anyone you want. Don't screw around with her for the hell of it." "Why don't you mind your own business, Kate?" he said roughly, and shoved past her into Abaya's trailer. Kate was steaming by the time she got to Maeve, who was having an iced tea with Agnes, waiting to get her hair and makeup done before their next scene. "I hate that guy," Kate said as she sat down. The three of them had become fast friends. "Who?" Maeve looked startled at the uncharacteristic vehemence in Kate's voice. "Dan. He's going to break Abaya's heart. He doesn't give a damn about her. He just wanted to win her over because she didn't want him." "Hell hath no fury like a narcissistic actor who's been spurned," Agnes said wisely, and Maeve agreed. They'd both seen it happen hundreds of times over the years. "She thinks he's falling in love with her, and he respects her," Kate said, worried about Abaya. Kate was sure he'd be cheating on her within days, or already was. But despite the personalities involved, Charlotte's pregnancy, and Dan's budding romance with Abaya, due to the professionalism of the cast, the actual filming was going smoothly. And much to Zack's delight, they were ahead of schedule, which would give them the time they needed to shoot the 9 additional episodes. Maeve's and Agnes's performances had been astoundingly powerful. Becca's scripts were working well. They were still saving Nick Brooke for the final episode of the season, and fitting the additional 9 episodes in before that. Kate and Becca were working on them. And by mid-August, they had finished the scenes they needed to with Charlotte before the pregnancy, and she looked great. And Abea absolutely glowed. She and Dan had become inseparable on set and off. They were going back to Long Island in 2 weeks to shoot at the airstrip again, and everyone was pleased. The heat had been blistering in upstate New York. Kate was surprised one morning when Agnes didn't show up for her call. She went to find her in her trailer, and she wasn't there. And hair and makeup said she hadn't come in yet. It was the first time she'd been late, and Kate was concerned that something might have happened to her. So she drove the few miles to her motel. It was a dismal place. There was no answer when she knocked on Agnes's door, and she borrowed a key to let herself in. She found Agnes blind drunk on the floor, with a bottle of bourbon next to her. She tried to sit up when she saw Kate and couldn't. Kate pulled her up onto the bed, as Agnes rambled incoherently. She kept talking about Johnny as though Kate knew who he was. She thought she meant the young pilot on the show, but her ramblings made no sense. Kate texted Maeve, who showed up 20 minutes later, and they got Agnes in the shower together, with her clothes on. She was only slightly more sober when they laid her back down on the bed and got her into dry clothes. She sat up on the bed then and stared at both of them. "Go back to the set," she said sternly. "I'm taking a day off today," and then started groping around the floor, looking for her bottle, which Kate had taken away. It was almost empty, and Kate assumed she had drunk almost all of it the night before. "Let's get you some air," Maeve said, and the two women half-dragged her outside, but the heat was so oppressive it didn't help. "You know what today is, don't you? He was out on the boat with Roberto. It wasn't Roberto's fault. They got caught in a storm on the way home." The two women exchanged a look but didn't comment, and helped Agnes into bed. "Leave me alone," she said to both of them, with an authoritative tone, and they went outside to confer for a minute. "What's going on?" Kate whispered to Maeve. "Who's Johnny?" It no longer sounded like she meant the pilot on the show, but someone else. "She and Roberto had a son," Maeve said in a conspiratorial tone. "They kept it very quiet. In those days, having a child out of wedlock would have been a huge scandal and hurt her career. I don't know all the details, but Roberto had him out on their sailboat. They got caught in a squall on the way back. The boat overturned, and the boy drowned. He was 8. Today must be the anniversary of his death. She may have started drinking then. I know she took a couple of years off. According to Ian, Roberto blamed himself forever. She was never quite the same after that. She has never admitted to having a son, or that he died. I heard it all from Ian. It was one of the great tragedies of her life. The other was losing Roberto." Kate's heart ached for Agnes at the story, and she was sorry she hadn't known about it sooner. Maeve went back into the room where Agnes was sleeping, and Kate went to the desk to inquire about a local AA meeting. They said there was one at the church down the street every night. It was about a mile away. She thanked them and went to find Maeve. "You have to go back," Kate told her. "You have a scene with Abea this morning. I'll stay with Agnes. They can manage without me for the day." Maeve nodded. "I'll come back when we finish shooting. We should probably just let her sleep it off," Maeve said sadly, and Kate agreed. "I'll take her to an AA meeting tonight. There's one down the street." "She may not want to go," Maeve said, glancing at her. "I'm not giving her the choice. She can sleep it off now, and I'll try to get some food into her when she wakes up. Tell Nancy to do her scene tomorrow. She can work with you and Abea all day today. Dan can spend the day learning his lines for tomorrow." "Don't worry about it," Maeve said as the two women exchanged a look of understanding, and a minute later, Maeve went back to the set. Agnes didn't wake up until 5 o'clock, and when she did, she saw Kate sitting quietly in a chair in the corner of the room, watching her. "I'm sorry I fell off the wagon," she said in a hoarse croak, She looked old and beaten, as she had when they first met. Kate didn't ask her why it had happened. She knew enough for Maeve. "It happens. You'll get back on it." Kate came and sat on the edge of the bed. "Do you want something to eat?" "Maybe later. Thank you, Kate, for not telling me what a loser I am." "You're not a loser. I'm sure you had your reasons," she said quietly, not judging her. Agnes lay on the bed for a long time, staring at the ceiling, remembering. "Roberto and I had a son. He drowned in a boating accident with Roberto when he was 8 years old. Today is the anniversary of when it happened." Kate didn't tell her she already knew. She just gently patted her hand. "I'm sorry. I can't imagine anything worse than losing a child. It must have been terrible for both of you." "I thought Roberto was going to try to kill himself. He was so dramatic anyway. He had been trying to get a divorce before that, so we could get married. His wife wouldn't agree to it, and there was no divorce in Italy then, so he tried to get an annulment. But he gave up on it after that. He gave up on a lot of things. He was never the same again. It was good for his work, but not so good for us. We got drunk a lot together. It was the only way we could get through it. He stopped drinking eventually and went to AA. I never really did. I'd stop for a while, and then I'd start drinking again. Today is always a hard day. The worst day of the year for me. You should have told me." "Why? Nothing you could do would change it," she said with a deep well of despair in her voice. "And now they're both gone. I could have spent the night with you." Agnes shook her head, and a little while later she got off the bed and walked around the room. "Let's go get something to eat," Kate said. There were a coffee shop and a grocery store across the street. Kate was starving. She hadn't wanted to leave her and hadn't eaten all day. "Let's go get a drink instead," Agnes said, only half-joking. "We're going to an AA meeting at 7, Kate said firmly. "They have one here?" She looked surprised when Kate nodded. "I'll go with you, but I need something to eat before we do." Agnes went to comb her hair and wash her face, and she still appeared ragged when she came out of the bathroom wearing black slacks and a white blouse and sandals. They went across the street to the restaurant. Kate had a salad, and Agnes ordered scrambled eggs, hash browns, and black coffee. She seemed better, but still desperately sad, and she said very little. At 7:15, Kate walked Agnes to her car, and they got in. The meeting was in the basement of a church. Agnes asked Kate to go in with her, and it was very moving. She shared about her son's death, and the fact that she had just blown 5 months of sobriety. But by the end of the meeting she looked better, and they stayed to chat with the others for a few minutes. They all expressed their sympathy, since during her share no one was allowed to speak, and she had cried when she told the story. Kate drove her back to the motel then, and followed her into the room. Maeve joined them a few minutes later. The three women talked for a while, and Agnes turned on the TV. She told them she'd be fine now, but Kate knew she only had to cross the street to buy a bottle at the 7-Eleven, and she wasn't going to let that happen. "Like it or not," Kate told her, "I'm spending the night with you. I'll be fine tomorrow. I'll be back on the set. I'm staying anyway," she said, and Agnes smiled at her. "You don't trust me." "You're right. I don't," she said, and all three women laughed. "Fine, if you want to be that way." But she was secretly grateful. Half an hour later, Maeve left to go back to the hotel where she and Kate were staying. There hadn't been enough room for all of them at any one hotel, so they'd booked rooms all over the area in small, ugly motels. Kate walked Maeve to her car, and they both turned when they heard voices coming out of another room, as the door opened and two people came out. They glanced instinctively, and there was no mistaking who it was. It was Dan, with one of the hairdressers he'd been sleeping with before Abea. He was shocked when he recognized the two women, and he stared at Kate with defiance and terror. He was already cheating on Abea. Kate turned away as he hurried to his car, like the rat he was.
and she and Maeve exchanged a long look. I was afraid of that. I knew he'd cheat on her, Maeve said sadly. So did I. I loathe that guy. She doesn't deserve this, Kate said angrily. Are you going to tell her? Maeve asked, and Kate didn't answer. Are you? Kate wondered, not sure what to do. Maeve shook her head. She'll find out soon enough. Someone will tell her, or she'll catch him. He didn't have any scenes today. He's probably been here all afternoon. I hate him for what he's going to do to her, Kate said with feeling. Maeve nodded, got in her car, and drove away. And Kate walked back into Agnes's room, feeling sick. Dan didn't deserve their silence to protect him, but Kate knew that telling Abea would be even worse. He was a lowlife, and Kate was sorry they'd hired him for the show. But whatever they did now, Abea was going to be wounded, and it would hurt like hell. Chapter 13 With the help of nightly AA meetings after her slip, Agnes got back on track pretty quickly. She was a strong woman. She didn't talk about her son anymore, but she thanked Kate for saving her, again. They were all anxious to get back to the city. The heat was oppressive, the town was boring, and the cast was starting to get on each other's nerves, which wasn't surprising. They needed a break. Nancy had been driving them hard, and they wanted to return to New York and their significant others and start shooting again on Long Island. At least there'd be an ocean breeze there, and some of them could be at home and commute from the city. A week before they were due to leave, Maeve got a call from Ian's doctor. The medicine wasn't working as well, and he thought Ian was slipping. The situation wasn't at crisis level yet, but they knew his condition could change very quickly. Her daughters were taking turns watching him with the nurses, which gave Maeve enough relief to continue working. She was ready to leave at a moment's notice, if she got a call. It added an additional layer of tension to the atmosphere. Although nothing showed in Maeve's performance, she was a total pro, and had adjusted to the new scripts where her daughter Crystal told her she was pregnant, and the 16-year-old boy who had gotten her that way had run away. She had to admit to her mother that she wasn't even sure if he was the one who had gotten her pregnant. There was a heart-wrenching scene where she decided to keep the baby, and Anne promised to support her. It wasn't what she wanted for her daughter, but she was willing to face it with her. Then there was a brilliant scene between grandmother, mother, and daughter, where Agnes delivered an unforgettable performance, begging her daughter not to let Crystal destroy them, and not to send her away to have the baby, and Anne refused. The new script Becca had written for the scene had brought out the talent of each one, and they delivered their best performances. And Nancy had directed them like an orchestra of finely tuned instruments. Kate had cried as she watched them do the scene. And ever since she had seen Dan at the motel, he had avoided her assiduously. He was sure she would tell Abea, but she didn't have the heart to. She had decided to let her find out for herself. It was only a matter of time before she would, and Maeve had agreed. He wouldn't be on the show much longer anyway, since he died in the first season. Kate was going over one of the new scripts again with Becca, refining it and discussing it with her, when one of the production assistants came to tell her that her son was trying to get through to her and hadn't been able to reach her. She had forgotten her phone in Maeve's trailer earlier that afternoon. She was surprised that he had called. They'd spoken 2 days before, and she'd talked to Maribeth and the children, too. She'd been meaning to call Stephanie, but she'd been busy. And she hadn't heard from Candace in a week, but knew she would be back in London soon. She used the landline in her trailer to call Tom. "Hi. What's up?" she said when she got him on the line at his office. "I'm sorry, I forgot my phone in someone's trailer." For a moment, he didn't answer her. And when he did, she could hear that he was crying. "Tommy, what's wrong?" Her heart nearly stopped, thinking that something had happened to one of his children. "Is it the girls?" "No," he said, trying to pull himself together for his mother's sake. It had taken him an hour to get up the courage to call her. "It's Candy," he said, using her childhood name.
Mom, I don't know how to tell you this. She was killed last night in a bombing. They bombed a restaurant she was in. 30 people were killed, and she was one of them. I just got a call from her boss at the BBC. They tried to call you on your cell and couldn't get you, so they called me. I'm next on Candy's list to call in an emergency. It was a freak thing. They were coming back today. Kate felt like she'd been shot as she listened to him, and Maeve walked into the trailer with her phone and saw her face. She wasn't sure whether to leave the room or stay.
I don't... Are you sure?
She wasn't just injured, she said, clutching at straws, her face contorted in pain, as Maeve went to her and held her shoulders. She couldn't leave her like this.
No, Mom. She's dead.
They're sending her body back to England. I'm going over in Hank's plane, and I'll bring her home. For a moment, Kate was bereft of speech, as the pain of it sliced through her. And then she sobbed uncontrollably as Maeve held her. It's going to take a few days to get the paperwork in order. He was still crying, too.
I'll go to London right away, she said,
as though it would make a difference. But this time it wouldn't. The worst had happened. Candace's chances had run out. It was too late.
Don't come, Mom. There's nothing you can do. I'll meet you in New York. Maribeth is coming with me.
Kate nodded, unable to speak for a minute. We should be back in New York in a few days.
I love you. I'm so sorry. I kept telling her to stop. She wouldn't listen.
It's how she wanted to live her life, Mom. She wanted to make a difference. And maybe she did. She had a right to make that choice, he said, regaining his composure.
Not if it killed her,
Kate said in a whisper.
Did you call Steph?
I just did. She'll be home as soon as she can. When I get back from London, I'll help you make the arrangements.
I can do that before you get home, she said, looking dazed.
She felt disoriented as she glanced around her trailer and saw Maeve.
Thank you for telling me,
she said softly. I love you, Mom. I'm so sorry. For all of us. I'm so glad we had that vacation together.
So am I,
Kate said, and after they hung up, she fell into Maeve's arms and sobbed.
They bombed a restaurant she was in. They were flying back to London today.
Maeve didn't ask her what country she had been in or who had killed her. It made no difference now. Kate's assistant on the set stuck her head in the door then, saw what was happening, and retreated immediately. And after a long time, Maeve came out and went to find Agnes to tell her. The news was all over the set within minutes, and they stopped filming. Maeve went back to see her then. Agnes went with her, and then Nancy joined them, and Abea a little while later. The four women sat together and took turns comforting her and holding her and telling her how sorry they were as Kate just cried and nodded. All she could think of now was how beautiful Candace had been. What a sweet child she was. Her first daughter. It was unthinkable, unimaginable that she was gone. The others left the set long before Kate left her trailer with her four friends right behind her, and they drove her to the hotel. She had thought of going back to New York that night, but there was nothing there except her empty apartment. She was better off here with them, until Tom called her to say he was ready to leave London. Kate called Stephanie from the hotel, and the others left her alone to talk to her daughter and cry. Stephanie said she'd come home in 2 days, and this time Agnes said she was spending the night with her. "You're just trying to get even with me for sobering you up," Kate joked through her tears, and Agnes laughed.
"No, I just like your hotel better, and your TV is bigger."
They all sat with Kate until long after midnight, and she felt like she had her family with her. Zack called, and she talked to him, but afterward she couldn't remember anything he'd said except that he was sorry, and he was crying. Everything that happened to her was a blur, and finally, at sunrise, she fell asleep as Agnes sat watching her. They canceled shooting for the day, with Zack's permission.
and he told Nancy he didn't care what it cost them. They could afford to take a day off. Kate never left her hotel room, and the women she was close to came and went all day and sat with her. And Tom called her to say he was in London and would be in New York in 2 days. 2 days later, the whole cast gathered around in silence when she left, and she saw that some of them were crying. She was planning to take a week off, until after the funeral, and Zack told her to take as much time as she wanted. It was hard for the others to go back to shooting without Kate. Her absence was sorely felt, and her sorrow weighed on them. But their performances were moving and wonderful, and all their compassion for her came out in how they acted. Maeve and Agnes, particularly, did one of their best scenes since they'd started shooting. When Kate got home, she called a funeral home and started to make arrangements. They were going to hold the service in a small church near the apartment, and Kate was working on the obituary when Stephanie walked in, rushed into her mother's arms, and burst into tears. Tommy landed at midnight that night with Candace's body, or what remained of it, in a casket. Kate had a hearse waiting for them at the airport to take her to the funeral home. They had decided to keep the service private. Kate couldn't face her daughter's childhood friends. Tommy and Maribeth were at the apartment by 1 a.m., and they sat around the kitchen table. It was nearly 4 when they went to bed. Kate couldn't sleep, and neither could Stephanie. And finally, they climbed into Kate's bed together, and were still awake when the sun came up. Kate sent the obituary to the New York Times the next morning, and the BBC was planning to deal with the British papers. They made an announcement on the air, with a touching tribute to her, which they sent Kate by email. The church service Kate had arranged was a brief agony compared to all the rest. The shock of her death had been brutal. The family spent the weekend together, and on Monday, barely able to tear themselves away from each other, Stephanie went back to San Francisco. Tom and Maribeth flew to Dallas, and Kate sat in her living room, lost. She felt as though her life was over. Nothing mattered anymore. The cast was back in the city by then, and they were planning to start shooting on Long Island on Wednesday, but she felt too disconnected to talk to them or go back to work. Carmen and Paula Stein from Woman's Life had called her when they saw the obituary and were devastated for her. Jessica and Sam Hartley sent her flowers, and so did Maeve, Agnes, and Nancy. Zack had sent a huge arrangement of white orchids to the funeral home, from him and the entire cast. Kate felt as though a part of her had died with her daughter. Tommy had arranged for Candace's things to be packed up at her London apartment and sent home to her mother. She couldn't bear the thought of going through them when they arrived. Every inch of her soul seemed broken. They had not only blown Candace's life to bits, but Kate's as well. Agnes called her that afternoon to make sure she was all right, and Maeve shortly after. They were relieved to be back in New York, and so was Kate. Both women offered to come over, but Kate said she wanted to be alone. She didn't have the strength to see anyone. Suddenly, everything except Candace seemed unimportant. Kate was sitting in her kitchen 2 days later, thinking about her friends and the cast, when suddenly she wanted to be with them. They were her family now, too. She put on jeans and a T-shirt, didn't bother to put on makeup or do her hair, and, wearing a pair of sandals, drove out to Long Island. They were shooting at the airstrip that day. It was Philip Green's final scene as Locke. Everyone looked shocked when they saw her get out of the car, and they all rushed toward her. Candace had been gone for a week by then, and Kate felt as though she hadn't seen them in months. Agnes walked toward her as the crew went back to work, and she smiled at her. "Good girl. I knew you'd come. We need you. And that asshole is cheating on Abea again," she said to bring her back to the present, and Kate laughed. She felt decimated inside, as though a part of her were torn where Candace had been ripped from her, and the rest of her was just a shell around the wound. But it felt good to be with them. She had brought a bag so she could stay at a nearby hotel if she didn't want to go home that night, and after she watched Philip Green's last performance,
She thanked him before he left.
"Nick Brooke will be here tomorrow,"
Maeve reminded her, as they walked along the airstrip during a break.
"Oh, shit, I forgot."
Meeting him seemed so far away now. He'll only be here for 2 days to shoot his part in the final episode. They had booked him at a time that worked for him since he had a busy schedule, and they would continue shooting other episodes after he left.
"How's Charlotte doing?" Kate asked, concerned.
"Still bitchy, but impending motherhood has improved her slightly," Maeve said with a grin. She didn't like her, but she was a decent actress and a necessary evil on the show, just as Dan was.
"Agnes says Dan's cheating on Abaya again. Who's he after this time?"
Thinking about it was a good distraction. "One of Lally's assistants, the one with breasts the size of my head."
"And Abaya doesn't suspect it?"
It was a relief to talk about the problems of the set instead of thinking night and day about Candace.
"Not yet. She's convinced he's changed, and she's madly in love with him. She has a nasty shock in store when she figures it out."
Maeve went home to check on Ian that night, which was what she liked about working on Long Island, and she was glad to relieve her daughters for a while, so they could get out and see friends. Agnes and Nancy had dinner with Kate at the hotel. They didn't mention her daughter, but they could see how ravaged Kate was. She still wasn't herself. She went for a long walk alone on the beach the next morning, before she came to the set, and when she returned, she saw a crowd of people around a car, and a man in a cowboy hat get out.
There were often fans hanging around the outer perimeter of the set once they knew who the stars were.
A moment later, as they cleared a path for him, she saw that it was Nick Brooke. He looked no different than he had in Wyoming, and he smiled when he saw her at the edge of the crowd and approached her with a serious expression. He waited until the others had given them some space.
"I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter, Kate. I read it in the New York Times. I'm glad I met her."
Kate nodded with tears in her eyes and couldn't answer him, and he gently touched her shoulder.
"Thank you,"
was all she managed to say, and accompanied him to his trailer so he could drop off some things.
"I want to write to Tom and Stephanie if you give me their email addresses."
She nodded in answer, and they went into his trailer. He looked satisfied as he